Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, live. We'll do it live. From our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Couldn't wait to get to the segment. Bryce Harper. By the way, next segment, which I can't wait to get to as well, based on the conversation you and I had to start the show about just how dominant Duke looks, we're going to really put the cart before the horse, and our Rank'em Wednesday is the top five most dominant teams ever, collegiately.
Yes.
Could be basketball, could be something off the radar. I might do a little baseball. Tiki always track and field. You never always come up with something wacky, something unique, something different.
Right.
So we'll do that coming up. But the five, not to say that Duke necessarily will do this every night. Of course, it's an overreaction. It's stretching it out for topic purposes and conversation purposes. But that'll be good coming up on the show here. We'll do that next segment. Bryce Harper.
All right.
So Bryce Harper... There, now we got the numbers on. Remember, there was a report during the year that the Nationals had offered him a contract.
Yes.
A long term. It was dubbed an aggressive offer, but the terms were never disclosed. We have since gotten wind that several reports confirming that it's 10 years, $300 million. All right, first of all, memo to the Nationals, that is not aggressive. That is incredibly soft right there. $300 million for 10 years?
Yes.
Ain't even close to what he's going to
get. Well, I mean, what was...
Not even close.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton was $325,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that was five years ago.
Exactly.
5 years ago?
The numbers... Tiki, I told you in 2013 that... God, I wish we had this from that show. Because I said it a long time ago. The number's going to start with a four.
Yeah.
And it's going to.
You think someone's going to pay that?
Yes. I do. I do. And then when you, and we have to play this because this is part of the brilliance of Scott Boras. Check this out. Now, to get to the 400, you're going to have to find a way to get the biggest bettors, the biggest, you know, poker players at the table.
Yep.
You're not getting $400 million if you play a game of poker and it's the A's, the Tampa Rays, and the Padres, you know, who just spent all their money on Hosmer foolishly last offseason. If you get the Red Sox there, I'm not saying they need them, but if you get the Red Sox, get the Yankees, get the Dodgers, maybe get the San Francisco Giants, maybe get the Cubbies for sure, now you might be able to tilt it toward that four. Listen to what Scott Boras said, because this is a direct shout-out to the New York Yankees.
Always during the course of the season, he takes ground balls at first base all the time. Bryce could put on catcher's gear if he needed to and go catch, so he can help his team. He can help his team in many ways as they create the best possible roster during the course of a long period of time.
All right, so Boras, that's brilliant. Not surprising, but what you're doing is you're opening up every possibility. Yeah, my client, yeah, listen, he used to catch in junior college, used to pitch, he's got great hands, he's taking ground balls at first base. Nothing he can't do.
Can he play first
base?
He's
adaptable.
Can he?
Do I think he's got the skill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do.
What is hard, or is there anything hard about playing first base?
Well, everything's
hard.
That
he hasn't done.
I would think the biggest challenge would be there's so few bunts now that wouldn't really be it. The toughest thing, but since he's a very good outfielder, you know, and I always kid around like,
but the Yankees don't need that.
No, they need a first baseman.
Yeah.
Exactly, which is why Boras is saying that. The play that I hated was as a first baseman, like that pop up down the right field line. I was terrible. But he's an outfielder, so he'd be pretty adept at that, I would think. The toughest thing is to hold the guy on first base, all right, and stare at whether it's Big Poppy back in the day or a big lefty bat now, knowing that he might rifle a one-hop smash job at you, and you're on the grass because you're holding the guy on and you're jumping off first base from holding him on, and you're literally at this point 87, 88 feet away for something that might come at you 115 miles per hour in terms of exit velo. Yeah. That's scary.
Now there's
I mean, that, you got to commit to that. That's not fun.
What is the hardest position, by the way, in baseball? Is it third?
Define hardest.
Meaning if you're a great athlete, right? We know the cliche, from when you're little.
Baseball players aren't athletes?
No. Like from Little League. Put your best player, your best athlete at shortstop.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't even know why that is. Is shortstop the hardest position?
It's the middle of the diamond theory. You get the most action. You got to catch. You got to throw. You got to move. Yeah, I mean, you've got to back things up. You're a cutoff man.
It's just a lot to process.
Yeah, you've got to have an IQ. You've got to have a quickness. You've got to have an arm for sure.
Is first easiest?
I think that back in the day, there was an association with first base that first base was pretty easy because you had a lot of heavy-footed guys that could play there.
Yeah.
Just knock it down, box it up, keep it in front of you. If you hit 40 bombs, it doesn't matter what the hell you do with the leather. That's changed now. A lot of like Eric Hosmer's a great fielder. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys can move. They used to be outfielders. I think the toughest position is catcher.
Yeah.
Because there's the physical aspect, you know, throwing your shin guards down, boxing up sliders. Of course.
And you got to have an arm.
But, yeah, of course. And you've got to get down to second base in less than 1.7 seconds in terms of the exchange for the throw. But then you got to be smart, and you've got to be in sync with every pitcher. And you got to know hitters and what they're vulnerable to. So catching is really hard. Center field is tricky as well. You know, if you're in a quirky ballpark, if you have the requisite speed, it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. First base is not easy. He can do it because he's a gamer, and he's got great hands. I'll tell you what, though. Forget about first base for a minute. I would, if I owned the Yankees or any of those big market teams, I would rather, this is going to sound foolish, but it's really brilliant. I would rather give Bryce Harper 7 years at, say, $50 million a season.
What?
Just hear me out. I know it sounds wacky. So we'll make it $350. Or if that's not good enough, I might even contemplate bumping it up to $60 million a season, give him $420 million a year total, for $420 total, $60 over 7, rather than 10 years at $400 million. Mm. Because the extra $60 million in a big market is negligible. Between the revenue stream that you have for Yes or Nesson, the 35,000 people who are there every night for parking, et cetera.
Yeah, which is only growing, by the way.
Which is only growing. The TV major league deal with Fox and all the other, you know, outlets of resources that they have, which are abundant. You know, I would rather pay premium top dollar for somebody firmly in his prime than stretch it out, pay less on the annual value, and have a guy who's going to hit 230 when he's 37 years old and he can't run.
So the question,
that's what I would rather do.
But the question is who is going to be willing to put up this much money for a player? We saw this offseason. We saw this last offseason. With the market. Now, there was no superstar like this. There was no generational type player like this. Mm-hmm. But a lot of teams
Mike, can you pull up the top free agent contracts from last year? The ones where the guys went late and stock is the biggest ones, if you can.
And Hosmer was one. But you remember that. A lot of the teams were sitting on money. Now, that they may have been sitting on money in anticipation of this season. This offseason, whether it be Machado or Bryce Harper, or whoever else potentially could come available, whether it's someone on the staff. You didn't know if Kershaw was going to stay, if he was going to opt out. So there was a thought, let's save some money just in case we get some of these generational players that are coming. Obviously, Kershaw stays in L.A., but Machado and Bryce Harper are available. So what teams are there? I don't know if the Yankees are ideally suited for Bryce Harper. There's so many bats.
They're not.
You know they're definitely not.
Unless you move him to first base.
Unless you move him to first base. And that's kind of saying Greg Bird's done. You move him out of there.
I'm still his Bird supporter, but I can't say
I want to like him. I want to like him, but he didn't play. He was unavailable.
He was terrible when he was in there.
I
can't defend him now. He was terrible.
I hear you. So where else is he that's going to spend money?
Well, if the Mets had any stones, the Mets would give him a blank check because he'd fill up Citi Field every night.
Would he?
Yes. He's got an energy. He's got a... See, to me, I don't
even
think...
Even if he hit like 240 like he did.
He's going to hit 45 home runs. Last year, I think he was kind of... He didn't compartmentalize the free agency very well. See, I don't know that Machado's going to get better. He's great. I just don't know that... I think he might be what he is. And what he is terrific.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Harper's going to get better. And I think that, you know, see, somebody like Bryce, maybe I'm reading this wrong because I don't conventionally buy tickets the way my dad did when I was a kid. Like, hey, Dwight Gooden's pitching at shit. Let's go. You know, it's different because now I'm in the business. If I want to go, I just go. But if I'm like a fan, I would be more compelled to reach into my pocket and watch Bryce Harper play baseball than I would Manny Machado. I just think there's more excitement. There's more theatrics. There's more... the propensity for something that you've never seen, like a 500-foot home run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a wildness. There's an erraticness, which is appealing, like a combustibility. Like, I don't know. This guy, I would pay top dollar to go and see him play. I wouldn't pay top dollar to go see Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Now, the Yankees need Machado more because of Didi Gregorius' injury. So that complicates, from Boris's point of view, just how involved the Yankees might be with this.
And the Yankees don't need that sex appeal. They don't need that gate.
No, Yankees need pitching.
Exactly.
Yankees need pitching,
for
sure.
But they don't necessarily care. The Yankees sell themselves.
Yeah,
and the
Judge
fact that they
you're gonna
exactly.
Judge.
The fact you have Judge and you have all these other young hitters that are exciting.
No question.
And you want to be there for them. What the Yankees need is something to make them viable again to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of knew, even though they were good a lot this season and got close. No, they did win 100 games. Did they win 100?
Yes.
They won 100 games. You kind of felt that. When it got to the postseason.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to win a World Series.
Yeah,
I didn't feel it.
It just wasn't there.
No.
And so it's not about that for them. Bryce Harper is not about the Yankees. The Yankees aren't about Bryce Harper right now. They want to win.
But they need a lefty stick. They need a lefty bat.
True.
Judge is a righty. Stanton's a righty. I mean, Didi's obviously. Didi hits for the left. But Sanchez is a righty. Greg Bird's a lefty. But Greg Bird right now is just.
Yeah.
Andujar is a terrific looking third righty.
Where is he going?
I think he's going to the Cubs. I think he's going to go play with his buddy Chris Bryant. I think he's going to go to Wrigley. Now, one of the problems with that is, like, and just from a monetary point, business perspective, the size of Wrigley Field. What, Mike? What is Wrigley? 38? I know I'm throwing a few. I want to get those contracts from you too. I think Wrigley's 38. It's south of 40. Whatever it is, 35, 37, something like that. Whatever Wrigley is, you know, that's almost 15,000 fewer seats than Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And Dodger Stadium. And over the course of 81 home games.
42 it is.
That's right, because they jack it up a little bit. But still, there's roughly a 10,000 seat difference. 10,000 theoretical extra bodies, 81 nights a year, is going to largely subsidize a chunk of his contract.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
So but you can't, but there's limitations at the rig because it's small. I think that he wants to play with Chris Bryant. He's not going to play for the Nets. The Red Sox don't need him. The Dodgers don't need him. The Yankees are desperate, but they'll throw their money in a different direction. I'm saying the Cubs. That's my call. I don't know that the San Francisco Giants will make a hard play for him. And quite frankly, if I'm him, I'm not going to that ballpark.
Why?
The air is too heavy in Triples Alley. Unless you're Bonds on steroids, you're just losing too many home runs at the warning track.
Yeah.
It's not conducive to even opposite field. It's a little tricky, even with his power. Mike, what were some of the contracts? What do you have for this was last year? Hosmer was a big one.
Hosmer was 8 years, 144. Darvish, 6 for 126.
Yeah.
JD Martinez, this is a steal. 5 for 110.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this guy might be the best hitter in the AL, he's getting 23.
Yeah. Almost won the Triple Crown. He's terrific. Right.
Lorenzo Cain, 5 for 80.
Not
Arrieta, 3 for 75.
Who was that last one, 3 for 75?
Jake Arrieta with the Phillies.
That's right, Jake Arrieta.
Carlos Santana.
I kind of lost track of how his season went.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's a tough place to pitch. They needed him to kind of show.
Yeah.
I mean, number one, he's still pretty good.
They were ahead of schedule a little bit.
A little bit. And you know what? The Phillies could actually – good call saying Arrieta. I could actually see the Phillies making a play for Bryce Harper.
Hmm.
But I'm going to stick with my Cubs prediction.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't
stun me. I
already
predicted Machado there. They're not getting both.
Yeah, they're going to get one of them.
Yeah.
Wouldn't stun me if Machado did something wacky. Like, if Machado goes to the Yankees, if they're not sold – and they might. If they're not sold that Didi's coming back. He's had Tommy John surgery, dude.
I know.
He didn't just have a little scope.
He's for sure missing
Tommy John surgery.
He's for sure missing 19.
No, not necessarily. No, it's just not
really?
Throwing. No, he's not for sure. But he's
still
going to miss 5 months, 4 months, 5 months. Mm. You know, and if you're the Yankees and you have a hold, now you could put Gleyber Torres at shortstop, but then what do you – I mean, there's a lot of revolving pieces there. I could see Machado going to the Yankees. I could see the Cubs and the Phillies in a bidding war for that guy. That I can really
see
happening.
What's the number?
Going to start with a 4. It's going to start with a 4 unless somebody gets creative and does what I said and kind of expands their mind in a different direction and says, you know what?
He should take that too, by the way.
He should because then he gets the same market value when he's still in his prime.
He's 32 or 33.
Yeah, but he can get the opt-out, which almost equates to the
course,
same thing.
Same thing, whatever. He's mid-30s. He's not close to 40.
Oh, 100%. And by the way, this is why I got to say this too. I know we got to break, but I meant this is important. Shame on the Nats. That's a pathetic job by the Nats because the offer that they deemed as aggressive was so hollow, and it was such a dog and pony show. Mm-hmm. That contract offer that they floated, they knew there was no chance he was going to take it, and that was them, at least positioning within their fan base. Hey, man, we tried. You know, we tried to keep him. He didn't want to stay home. Homegrown talent. You know, he dissed us just like he dissed you. But we tried to keep Bryce. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
Because you didn't make a series offer.
The fan is smarter.
If he made a series offer, he may have stayed.
I think the fan is smarter than that these days. And it's a shame.
In terms of, like, savviness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to point it out.
Yeah, no, I agree.
For the few that aren't.
I agree. I know, but
but I think you're right. I think they could probably feel the same thing.
You're right.
All right. We will rank them. If you want to tweet us on the Harper stuff, we'd love to hear where you think he might go. Or calls 855. Or how about this? Who would you pay more, Machado or Harper? 855-212-4227. We'll get to rank them coming up as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn strikes. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn, correct? Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news for you. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 across the country, 140-plus affiliates nationwide, all good. All right, so just, again, just work with us on this one. It's obviously a stretch. It's one game.
Yes, we are reaching.
Yeah.
But we saw Duke destroy the number two team preseason.
Yes.
And grain of salt, but still, they destroyed them.
They look different. They look rare. They look unique. They look unstoppable.
Yes. When you have your 6'8 power forward bringing the ball up the court, letting everybody clear out like he has a basketball IQ of an 8-year pro in the NBA,
uh-huh. It
gives him a half step to the left, goes back around to the right, crossing over, and then dunks it on the dude. I mean,
you're in pretty good shape. You might make the NCAA tournament, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
you might not be sweating on Selection Sunday.
You're right.
Okay. You're not going to be a 9 seed.
No.
So with that in mind, it's a Rank'em Wednesday here. And again, pushing it forward a little bit. We'll see how it materializes the rest of the year for Duke with Zion and the rest of those stars, Barrett, et cetera. The top five most dominant college teams ever. You ready to have a little fun?
Any sport, by the way.
Any sport. You ready?
I am.
Let's go.
Everybody loves lists. Who's the best? Who doesn't belong at the top? Tiki and Tierney give you a different top 10 every week and help you rank them. Number five.
I'm going to go all the way back to 1988. The Syracuse Orange. They were the Orange men then, but the Syracuse Orange. Mm-hmm. You don't even know the sport, BT, because you didn't follow the
sport. Well, I know they're good at lacrosse. Are you going lacrosse?
They were great at lacrosse.
They had a set
of twins, Gary and Paul Gate. Gary Gate created the air gate, and this is when you could still dive into the crease and hit the goal. Uh-huh. You used to dive from behind the goal, over the top, slam it inside. That team went 15-0, that Syracuse team. They won the national championship, undefeated national champions back in 1988. 15-0 in the regular season, obviously blew through the tournament, beat Cornell.
I was going to say, who'd they beat, Johns Hopkins or Virginia or who else? North Carolina's usually pretty good, too.
Duke is in there as well.
Yep.
Syracuse lacrosse in 88 was unbelievable.
That's a good one. It's a unique one. I didn't think he'd pull for the lacrosse team, but that's good. And by the way, I constructed a list that's going to give us a lot of thought as well. I tried to get in the good representation, different eras. When you're saying 1988 Syracuse, I'm saying...
They weren't good.
No, they were good, like Sherman Douglas. Yeah. Of course they were good, but no, they lost in 87 with Keith Smart with the jump shot.
Right.
And then, of course, they won it with Carmelo. I'm like, so it wouldn't be basketball. Where's this guy going with this? All right, good call. I've got the 1995 Cal State Fullerton baseball team. Mm. And I can tell you, this was when I was playing. And I was telling Mike before the show, we almost played them. If we played them, we would have lost. If they tried, they could have beaten us 100-0. I'm serious. They were just... Listen to some of the things they accomplished. First of all, 57-9 against the best teams in the country.
Yes.
Wichita State with Darren Dreyer. I mean, actually, that was before. But great teams. They swept through the entire postseason. Their team batting average was 336, and they had 9 players drafted. the 1995 Cal State Fullerton baseball team. Great team.
Great one.
Number four.
I've got the, I mentioned this team earlier, the 1975, and BT did as well, in 76, Indiana Hoosiers with Bobby Knight. That was his fifth
I took
season.
It off my list.
It was fifth season there.
I didn't want to have repeats.
Yeah, we didn't want to have But that they were unbelievable that year, the Hoosiers. Undefeated, again, national champions. And it was the beginning of the legacy or the aura of Bobby Knight. That one, they were definitely one of the greatest national championship teams that we've ever seen.
You know, I actually had them at number three. I'm going to get to my number four, though. I had the Hoosiers. That team with Scott May and Kent Benson and Quinn Buckner, I think they went 18-0 in the Big Ten. That's a team. Yeah, I didn't omit them by design. I just didn't want to have, you know, repetitive answers here. So try to keep it original. How's this for original? 1945 Army football. 1945. Give it up for the Black Knights of the Hudson Valley.
Back in the day.
A lot of respect.
The military academy is just like Staubach.
That's absolutely right. No doubt about it. That's a little bit before Staubach's time, but absolutely point taken. No, I do. They average 48 points a game. They allowed on the average 5 points per game. So they averaged almost 50. They gave up 5 points per game. They had five shutouts. And this is the most interesting point. I think a lot of, quite frankly, I didn't even know this until I did the research. I didn't know that they had two. I knew they had one.
Yeah.
The 45 Army team had back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. So 44 and 45. Yeah, I knew they had one. I didn't know that they had two. They beat Notre Dame 48-0, who was phenomenal, and they beat Navy
48-0.
Yeah, and as per your statement about the other academies, 32-13, they beat Navy, who was terrific. The 45 Army Black Knights of the Hudson Valley, awesome team.
Number three,
I have the 1969-70 Cornell College hockey team, and why them? Don't know a lot about them. Haven't ever seen anything about them. Don't know any of the players. But there has been one team in the history of college hockey that has gone undefeated and won the NCAA championship.
Is that really only one?
Only one
team.
The 1969-70 Cornell hockey team.
Really?
So they must have been fantastic.
That's a good call. Yeah. I would have guessed that maybe BU or maybe...
BU. Samter squad had a couple of national... You had a couple national championships, but never
undefeated.
Perfect season.
Wow. Or like St. Cloud State, I believe, has a pretty potent program. Right, Mike? They're up there.
Where the heck is St. Cloud? State.
Up in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
Great call.
Go ahead, Mike. Are you on? I'm sorry. I can't hear you. You're not coming over the air.
Yeah, you're down.
You might be
out.
Hitting the wrong button. That's okay. I don't think it was at that point. Yeah. Go ahead. Give it a shot.
Try it again.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, there's.
St. Cloud State beat BU in a huge, epic, triple overtime game. Rick DiPietro, who was the number one overall pick, first American-born goalie.
I like DiPietro.
The number one overall pick.
Pickle Rick.
Stood on his head that game, but we ended up losing. Yeah,
He was banged up a lot with the Islanders, but when he was healthy, Rick, and he was great in college.
By the
Mike
way, every
said,
time
first
you get
overall
a,
pick.
A Rick on this show, I'm going to say Pickle Rick.
What?
Rick and Morty, you got to know it.
That just sounds weird. I'm not going to say that. All right, you can say that. How about this? The night number three. What number are we on? What are we doing?
Three.
Number
you're
three?
You're three.
I was going to say the Hoosiers, but how about I have to go with something somewhat modern, even though at this point it was a while ago.
I know.
The 1989-1990 UNLV basketball team.
They were great,
Listen,
man.
They beat Duke by 30 points. Now, they didn't go undefeated.
That's an omission on my part.
Whatever. It's subjective. You try to hit all the,
but
layers.
They were unbelievable.
They went 35-5, so they lost five times.
Yeah.
I just think they got bored sometimes. Between Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and Greg Anthony, our buddy Greg, who's been on the show a ton. First round pick of the Knicks, by the way, lefty. I mean, they had Anderson Hunt. They had a great coach. They were men. They were just... They embarrassed Bobby Hurley, and Bobby Hurley's the best point guard I've ever seen in college.
The next year, they went undefeated.
Yes, until the championship. Yep. I think that they took Duke for granted that game. Not to discredit Duke's win.
Final four.
I know. Not to discredit Duke, because Duke came back with a vengeance, and Bobby made amends there, but...
He grew up.
Yes, he did. That UNLV team was just fierce. Larry Johnson, I got them number three for me.
Number two.
All right, Gino Auriemma has been amazing. There's many teams that I could have picked from UConn's women's basketball. But in 2016, UConn women's basketball went 38-0. Again,
what year is this now?
2016.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple years ago, undefeated, 38-0, won the national championship as an undefeated national champion. More importantly, BT, Breonna Stewart, Mariah Jefferson, and Morgan Tuck, who are all stars on that team, went 1, 2, and 3 and the WNBA
and
draft.
Duke is going to replicate that this year.
Exactly.
Now that is crazy that they all went three
one, two, and three.
That's good.
The WNBA draft. I mean, you talk about a dominant team.
No,
that was a dominant.
And they've been dominant for 20 years with Geno.
I mean,
my
God, they have like six undefeated seasons.
It's Sue Bird, Rebecca Lobo, a phenomenal program. All right, 1995. You ready for this, Middle America? The Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Nebraska.
19. Let me just give you.
Is Scott Frost?
No.
No.
This is easy to forget what they might have done, how good they. This isn't like the 50s when you're playing.
Tommy Frazier?
Tommy Frazier.
Yeah.
1995. They were, now, keep in mind, they were unbeaten in 1994. So they rolled into the 95 season. They average 50 points a game.
Wow.
They have 21 future pros on the team. They defeated four top 10 teams and they during the course of the year. And each of them, they won by at least 23 points. They trailed in one quarter the entire season. Nebraska, 1995. I got Tom Osborne's team. I got you, Huskers.
Number one.
That's Senator Osborne.
Yes.
Because he ran for, he was a senator, right?
For sure. For many years.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
UCLA is number one. I mean,
yeah,
John Wood, it doesn't even matter.
Version, though? That's the only thing we have to debate.
What version?
Well, go ahead.
I'm going 1972.
You going Bill Walton?
I'm going Bill Walton.
Oh, explain yourself.
They were undefeated.
Explain yourself.
First of all, the 72-73 seasons, and really a 73 season as well, the 74, they were unbelievable, undefeated national champions. They for 2 years in a row, that wooden squad was great. And it wasn't superstars that would go on and be pro heroes. I mean, Bill Walton didn't even play that long in the NBA.
But he was great before he got hurt.
But he was unbelievable.
Won the championship
before
Portland.
He
was great.
I got the early 70s.
You going 70s,
I'm going
70s. I'm going 60s, man. I've got the Bruins up here as well. I got a
Kareem bias.
I got, well, Lou Alcindor, if you want to be, technically
true.
Correct here.
Sorry,
come on, sweet
fault.
Lou.
My fault.
L-E-W. Lou Alcindor, 29 points
a
game.
Lou Alcindor. I'm going to call him Lou Alcindor.
15 rebounds a night. They won all four tournament games. Obviously, it was a smaller field back then. By at least 15 points, so en route to the championship, it wasn't even competitive.
Yeah.
They beat Wyoming, who was pretty good back in the day, believe it or not, really good. They beat them by 49 points.
Wow.
And listen, can I go with the Walton team? Yeah, I guess I can on some level, but the final barometer for me is this. The best college basketball player of all time.
That's a good point.
Is Lou Alcindor. And true. I've got, in my opinion.
Hell, you have him as the best.
And I've got him as the best basketball player of all time. So the best college player, the best coach in John Wooden. Coach K's there as well. And the best program, Duke's there as well, the 66-67 UCLA Bruins.
I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
That was this week's Rank'em with Kiki and Tierney.
That's a good list. That was good. That was good. 1-855-212-4227. Want to get some calls coming up?
Yeah, let's.
About Dez going to the Saints, about Duke last night, about our Rank'em list, about Bryce Harper. Let's hit the phone. You want to do it?
Let's.
All right, we're getting calls next. 855-212-4227. Jay Berman's update is now. We'll get you on the other side with the phones. Here's Jay. All right, we'll get some calls here. Get to the blast as well. Good stuff. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM. 206. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's see. Let's go with this one. Brian Tonley at Tonley JJ queries. All right, boys, RJ Barrett or Zion Williamson, who's going to be the better NBA pro? I mean, listen, I don't know. It's too early.
Yeah,
it's too early.
I mean, Zion Williamson is enormous. I'm going to say just because he's got handles and he's 6'8 and 280, I'm going to say Williamson.
You're going to.
I don't know.
I got to see him play more. I don't know.
The dude can dunk from the free throw line, it seems like.
He is a freakish dunker, that's for sure. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I'll tell you, I'm struggling to. I always try to come up with comparisons of young players. I mean, I'm not always right, but it's one thing I've always been pretty good at. For whatever reason, I've always been able to look at players and say, this guy reminds me of this. At an early age, and generally I could kind of get on the right path, at least have a conversation. I'm having a rough time with both of these players, admittedly.
Yeah.
Earlier in the show, I haven't attempted to put one on Barrett, although I just read something that's interesting. I said Larry Johnson, a lefty version of Larry Johnson. Not perfect, but I could work with that. And one of the draft websites that I go to all the time, NBADraft.net, they do that as well.
Yep.
And it's funny, for Zion Williamson, they have Rodney Rogers. Remember him from Wake Forest? Remember him?
Vaguely.
Remember he was kind of thick. I think he may have passed away. Didn't?
What? I'd have to look. I wouldn't know at the top of my
head. D-Cell, double check that. Didn't Rodney Rogers, believe he played at Wake Forest, and I believe, sadly, he passed away.
Oh, yeah. He did, right? I think he was paralyzed. Because I see the picture I saw, I got to read the story, but the picture, he's in a wheelchair.
He's still alive. Okay. Oh. He's still alive. Thank God. I had that wrong. But
47.
Paralyzed, huh?
Yeah.
And I don't really, I see more than Rodney Rogers, with all due respect. I don't think that's it. Basically, the point is that everybody's struggling to compare these players to anybody, even with R.J. Barrett. They said Michael Redd. Remember Michael Redd from Ohio State?
Yeah.
The lefty? Who was good. Then he got hurt. He had a degenerative knee condition with the Bucks. He can stroke it. I feel like Barrett might be a little bit more well-rounded than Michael Redd. So I guess we're not alone trying to find a good match on these young Duke stars.
2008 dirt bike accident. He flipped over, was paralyzed. It gave him only a 5% chance to walk again.
Wow. Get some calls here, see what's up.
Yeah, let's.
Let's go to California. Paul's going to check in on Tiki and Tierney. Paul, where are you in California? What part?
I'm in Orange County.
Orange County. Brandon. Must be nice. What's up, Paul?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I heard you talking about college basketball, the ranked teams and everything, and then what I was mentioning earlier. So years ago, well, you know, my dad and I, we used to go to all the UCLA games, Bruin games.
Yep. Yeah. What years are you talking about? Talking with Walton or Lou Alcindor?
I saw
or both.
I saw Jabbar play. Well, you know, Alcindor, I saw him play all 4 years of his college ball.
Oh, cool.
I saw Bill Walton play.
Uh-huh.
And I saw, of course, even going back a little bit further, I even saw Gail Goodrich and Walt Hazard play together.
Wow. You saw some great college basketball.
Wow. You saw good stuff, Paul. Wow. Okay,
I did.
Keep going.
And then, you know, and then so the Bruins, you know, were playing out here. They were playing at the sports arena before Pauley Pavilion opened up, and I think it was 1968, I believe it was, when that opened.
Okay.
And then recently they just remodeled it.
I know they did.
For Coach Wooden.
Yep.
Pauley, just before, you know, he died before he got a chance to see it, unfortunately. He lived to 99 years. In fact, one time I got a chance to meet Coach Wooden.
Did you really?
Uh-huh.
Wasn't he?
Met him and his wife.
Wasn't he a great – didn't he play at Purdue? Wasn't he a great athlete? A lot of people don't realize that John Wooden was a great athlete himself, and I believe he played at Purdue. Is that right?
I believe so, yes. Yes, he did play there. And he had a book called I don't know if it's still –
The Pyramid.
In print or not.
The Pyramid.
It says they call me Coach.
And he's got the pyramid of success model as well.
A lot of coaches around sports.
That's great.
Use
Paul.
That book.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank
you very much.
A lot of coaches around sport use that book. I know.
Absolutely.
Coughlin did all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wooden quotes all over the place.
One cool thing, you know, Steve Lavin, former St. John's coach. Coach Wooden was his best man at his wedding.
Is that right?
Oh yeah, he reveres John Wooden. So, you know, having been around the St. John's program for a long time, I got to know, you know, go have a scotch with Steve, go to dinner after we filmed the TV show. I'd get to hear some pretty cool John Wooden stories. I mean, that's somebody I would have loved to have met.
Yeah.
That last caller seems like his eyes saw some great men. Gail Goodrich? That's awesome. Pat's in Vegas. Want to chime in on Dez and the Saints. What's up, Pat? How are you today?
You know, I think he's going to do great with the Saints for three reasons.
Go ahead.
And the first reason is, number one, he's healthy. Number two, he's basically motivated beyond belief right now.
Yeah.
And then the third reason, I think the most important one, is he has no pressure of being the number one receiver on the team.
That's a good point.
I think that's going to really just let him play football and get his mind out of give me the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? You're right,
good
Pat,
point.
Because he's not old.
No.
He's 29 years old, so he's not ancient over the hill, like hanging on for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Dez truly believes that he can be an elite wide receiver, and that's why when he first left the Cowboys, and again, BT mentioned this earlier in our show, and you're dead right, they did him wrong, man. They released him so late. He had no team. Roster's already filled out. Right? There's nobody that's going to give him a shot that late in the offseason. But his idea was, give me a one-year deal, making whatever, seven or eight, and let me prove it, and then I'll sign another deal after that.
Yep.
But it was too late, so he never got the chance.
Well, didn't he have a chance with the Ravens? And he turned
and
it down.
That was colossal.
That
mistake.
Was
he thought the market was because the Ravens came right away.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he got released, the Ravens had an offer.
I think it was $7 or $8 million.
But I think it was like the next day or maybe 2 days later, there was an offer from the Ravens. He thought that there was going to be more.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, if I'm him, and as soon as I get cut, there's an offer for $7 or $8 million. I might be a little tempted to say, wow, that was quick. Let me see what else is out there. And
I
then
agree.
Before you know it, you miscalculate the market.
You're right. And then they signed, who'd they sign?
They brought in three wide receivers.
They brought in Crabtree right away. So all of a sudden, there was no spot for him.
Yeah. You know, I almost look at it like Des, we spent a lot of time on Bryce Harper, a baseball analogy here. Like, if you're a hitter and saying you're in the three hole and you just don't have a competent bat behind you in the four hole or vice versa, or like if you're the four hitter and the guy behind you is just not good, you're not getting fastballs.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to expand your zone. You're not going to really be in a position to thrive and really hit. And I think, unlike his last year and a half or two with Dallas, he's going to get fastballs again because they're worried about Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
So he's going to get some fastballs. Let's get Adam, who is in Cleveland, Ohio, on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Adam?
What's up? How you doing?
Hey, good, how you doing today, bud?
Good. I think the Saints getting Dez Bryant is huge for their team. I think him alongside Michael Thomas is going to be great to watch, and I think it boosts their Super Bowl chances.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. They are already a favorite, even without Dez Bryant. The question will be,
does it propel them to number one?
Yeah, what does Dez bring? Right, what's the what incremental does Dez bring to this team that's already fantastic? They game plan so effectively. I mean, Sean Payton's one of those elite coaches, mind coaches, who can see steps ahead. How does he use Dez is really what I'm interested in. I don't think it'll happen this week, as we mentioned earlier. It's too short of a week.
And just signed, I think he signed the contract tomorrow.
Yeah.
He agreed to it.
Agreed.
He's going to sign it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. He's not going to play this weekend, I don't think.
I mean, unless they're desperate. They don't have any bodies. Which
That's one of the problems. They don't. Teddy Ginn is on IR. The other kid that they drafted hasn't done anything. 3 weeks, no catches. I mean, I would still move forward with prudence. The last thing you want is a soft tissue pull when he's trying to get himself up to speed. Mm-hmm. Just, you know what, you're 7-1. You just beat the Rams. You got plenty of season. Let him get in the playbook for a few days. Let him get in a get a hotel in the bayou and then and get going. Steve is in Baltimore, and Steve is on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Steve.
Hey, before I get started, I just want to tell Tiki thanks for all the years with the Giants.
I mean, appreciate you, man.
Thanks for all the
years. I don't know how. I used to watch you get hit, and I would say, how does this guy not get killed?
Yeah.
And you would, like, duck hits, get under hits, and somehow get up.
Steve, you know what the trick was? I would take my feet off the ground before I get hit, so I didn't, the physics of it kept me on my feet. So I never got blasted. And I was lucky.
It was amazing. That's amazing. I loved you when you were on the Giants.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate
Just as quickly, college sports team, I love Gary Williams in Maryland. I'm like here in Maryland now. I'm a New York fan. But watching Gary Williams take Maryland to the championship those years with Dixon.
Juan Dixon.
Yeah.
That was a good team.
The
sweatbox.
He's a great coach. You know, they tanked after he left. It was over.
Yeah.
I used to call Gary the sweatbox.
Yeah, you haven't heard about
him. Nobody sweats more than Gary, except maybe Michael Irvin on First Take.
That's good for
him. And me occasionally if the studio's too hot. Now, what else you got, Steve?
Team up for some reason or other. He could get them going, and nobody else seems to have that.
Yeah. Maryland's in an odd space, odd space athletically. We had Boomer. I don't know if you heard the interview. We had Boomer on the other day. Boomer Esiason him for everything that's going on with Coach Durkin before he was actually fired and let go. But they're in a weird space. They have access to great players.
Of course.
The Baltimore area, Virginia.
The DC. You're right.
They've got the Under Armour money. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should be good at everything.
You can recruit in Philly. It's not that far either.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Anything else, Steve?
Better in basketball in that league, and they're just, not there. It's, weird.
All right, man.
But
I got you.
Appreciate you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I don't love them in that conference. It's just an odd fit. They should have stayed where they were. Just, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right.
I can't think
nothing
of the last
natural
time
about
I,
it.
You, when we're talking college basketball a little bit, we started our show with college basketball with the ACC, their former conference in Duke. I can't think of Maryland basketball. I don't think it's been on my radar in a while.
It's been a couple years. I mean, there was a point, even going back to Lonnie Baxter and Steve Blake, and every year they'd pump out a bunch of guys. But I mean, they're certainly not terrible, but they're not a power.
Yeah, sometimes you move for the money. You move for the what seems like the right financial move for the for your athletic program.
Sure.
And it just doesn't actually work out that
way. No. What have we got? Quiet night in college hoops tonight. We just have one top 25 team playing TCU, Jamie Dixon's team. What was that, Jamie's third year out there with the Horned Frogs? I think it's year number three. They're good. They'll be a tournament team if they stay healthy. And pretty sure LeBron's playing tonight, right? LeBron's playing tonight? We'll check on that in a sec. The Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season's begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. Serveveterans.com. That's serveveterans.com. Let's see.
There is an NBA game. Lakers hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, that's right. They're playing the T-Wolves tonight. I knew that. 10:30 at Staples. So you got
Jimmy
that.
Butler could end up out there.
Is he going to play tonight?
I don't know. I don't know.
I hope he plays. Oh, I hope the Lakers lose again. LeBron can't lose enough for me. I hope he just loses and
Stop hating. Stop getting off. Get off the LeBron hate wagon.
It's too pompous. Hashtagging himself the king. I'm the king. Come on, buddy. Get a grip. You're amazing.
I mean, he is.
And he do amazing things in the world. But
I mean, he is.
Take it easy.
He is.
A little humility. I don't know, man. He's got those gray whiskers coming through. Kryptonite. We'll see you tomorrow.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.